that were sitting in their living room watching television, and the wife got up off of the couch and headed toward the kitchen, and she looked over her shoulder and just said to her husband, "Would you like a cup of coffee?" He said, "That would be great." 20 minutes later, the wife emerges from the kitchen and walks in and hands her husband a plate. It has two fried eggs, bacon, and toast on it. He looks puzzled at her. She says, "Is there something wrong?" He said, "Yeah, I'm pretty sure I said I wanted my eggs scrambled." Thanks for laughing. I thought that was hilarious when I heard it, but every time I told it, no one thought it was funny. I think you're an elite crowd. Here's the deal. There is something seriously going on in the communication in that couple, right? But for whatever odd, strange reason, it seems to work for them, right? When we don't understand what's being conveyed to us, then that relationship has the potential of suffering if we're not communicating. Now, if you're like me, you probably have your fair share of relational challenges. You know, you don't seem to connect, or they didn't get you, or they didn't understand you. I hope your problem-solving techniques are a little better than mine. Is it possible, though, that what we thought were relational problems or emotional or maybe even spiritual issues in a relationship are actually just hearing problems? Could it be that our ears are deaf to the voice of God? Let me say that one more time. Is it possible that we're deaf to hearing what God has to say to us? Our inability to hear his voice causes us to lose our way. We will drift around in our lot through our lives in this world if we don't know what God is saying to us. Pete Gregg writes this in his book on hearing God's voice. He talks about, instead of turning up in your living room every Thursday at 9, God waits for you to make the effort to listen to him. Learning how to hear the voice of God will literally solve thousands of problems. It's also the key to fulfilling our potential in this life. If your life is out of kilter, maybe it's because there's just too much self-talk going on in your head, and you're not able to hear God. There are many voices in your life, but here's a question for us today. Is God's voice the loudest voice in your life? Is God's voice the loudest voice in your life? You know, we live in a culture where everyone wants to have their voice heard. It seems to validate their purpose or their meaning. But the problem is, a lot of people don't really have anything to say. That's because we do so little listening, especially to God. But we could change that if we were more intentional. If we were intentional to listen to his voice. That was part of every day, is that, "God, I want to hear from you today." It's when we hear from God that we actually have something we're saying to other people. All of us need to find our voice. And when I say that, I'm talking about that unique message that God wants to speak through your life to the lives of those around you. Finding your voice starts with hearing God's voice. It starts by listening to what he has to say. According to the Jewish historian Josephus, the prophet Samuel wasn't a prophet yet. He was just a 12-year-old boy who was serving in the temple with the high priest Eli. One night, the Lord called out to him, "Samuel," he said. And Samuel thought it was Eli, so he went to see what Eli wanted. The high priest said, I didn't summon you. Go back to bed. That was the first time that Samuel ever would hear the voice of God. But it wasn't the only time, not even the only time that night, because God called his name again, and he got up and he went to see Eli again. And Eli said, "Son, I didn't call you. Go back to bed." And then we pick this story up in 1 Samuel 3. If you have a Bible, you want to turn there. Verse 8 and following, this is what we read. A third time the Lord said to Samuel, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." That last sentence in verse 10, "Speak, for your servant is listening," is actually a prayer that Samuel prayed that night. He's talking to God, and he says to God, "Speak, because I'm listening. I want to hear from you. I want to know what you want me to know." That's a prayer that can change the trajectory of every one of our lives if we prayed it. "Lord, speak, for your servant is listening." Here's a key point for us in our talk today. We must listen carefully when God speaks. Now, that might be an understatement for those of you who walked with God for a long, long time. But the truth of the matter is that all of us could be reminded that how vitally important it is that we listen carefully when God is speaking. It's so important. And what I want us to do in the time we have this morning is explore a few of the ways that God speaks to us today. If we want to hear God speak, the first place to start is the Bible. So first, we must listen carefully as God speaks in the Bible. The Bible is the story that God sent to all of mankind so that we might know just how much he loves us. It's an invitation to have a personal relationship with him. Through the words of the Bible, one soul can be impacted, it can be changed, it can be transformed. It gives directions for our lives and warnings on how to avoid eternal death. The Bible speaks with great spiritual power, so we should read it and listen to it carefully. Now, the pace that we read Scripture is significant. You know, many of us are in the habit of speed reading, or we scan documents at work, and we do it fast. Or maybe when we listen to a book on tape or some other podcast, we listen to it at 2 times the speed or 3 times the speed. We're used to reading and listening fast. But when we read the Bible, we need to slow down in order that we might listen to it carefully. Stop. Go back. Read it again. What's he saying there? Mark Batterson, who's a favorite author of mine, great minister of the National Community Church in Washington, D.C., he's also a key source for this message. He writes, "Some truths are comprehended only via contemplation." What's he saying there? You're only going to hear what God has to say is if you stop and reflect on what you just read there for some time. If you blow past it, you'll miss it. So when you feel like reading fast, when it comes to reading the Bible, read slowly. Are you familiar with the words Lectio Divina? Anybody know what Lectio Divina is? A few of you know. Yeah, Lectio Divina is an ancient Benedictine practice, okay? Used to help people discern the voice of God when they're reading Scripture. It's just a few steps that they give to us. Lectio Divina came up with. It's not a guy named Lectio Divina, sorry. It's actually a process. And I kind of think of it as a meal, if you will. Okay? There are different aspects of the meal where you're going to get the value of the riches of that meal out of it. The first example of what I'm talking about here is just reading. Reading is like taking that first bite of a meal. Unfortunately, this is where most people stop. They just read scripture and then they're done with it. Like, I did it, you know? And it's important. You got to start by reading it. But we want to go a little bit further. If we want to hear what God is saying, we need to go a little bit further. The second part of this meal, if you will, is meditation. That's like chewing on the words and phrases that we're reading. Stopping for a little bit and saying, that's interesting. I wonder what that means. It allows the Word of God to work on you. And then the third aspect of this meal is prayer. It's like savoring the scriptures. Prayer helps us to cherish the Bible's valuable truths. And then the fourth aspect of this meal is contemplation. Contemplation is like digesting the Word and absorbing the truths. That's how the Word gets from my head down to my heart so that it can flow out of my life. You know, it would be awesome if we could just read the Bible and we would just ascertain quickly what God is saying to us as we're reading it. But it's not. It does require meditation, prayer, and contemplation. Ironically, it's only when we slow ourselves down that the Holy Spirit does His best work by helping us to listen to what God is saying. But there's one more aspect to this meal, and that is doing what the Bible says. It's the action plan part of the Lectio Divina. The great theologian G.K. Chesterton said this: Christianity has not so much been tried and found wanting, it has been found difficult and left untried. You can't just read the Bible, meditate on it, pray about it, and even have contemplation about it. You must put it into action. You must do it. The prophet Elijah was exhausted, he was afraid, and he was even depressed because Queen Jezebel was threatening to have him killed. So God speaks to him. And we find this in 1 Kings 19, verses 11 and 12. This is what we read. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And what we will find out is that God was in the whisper. Now, we can't dismiss all these things that are happening as insignificant. All this natural phenomena, this powerful wind, this earthquake, and this fire, they're all significant. You can't say that they didn't have anything to do with this because God was not in those things. But I'd be willing to bet that those things got Elijah's attention, don't you think? You see, God has an outside voice, and He's not afraid to use it. And I think in that moment, He is definitely exercising His outside voice. But when God has something to say to us that's too important to miss, He speaks in a whisper. Which brings us to our second point. We must listen carefully because God often speaks in a whisper. And you know, if you're not paying attention or you're not dialed in, you might miss it. You might actually miss it. My grandson recently has started talking in a whisper. I'll say, "What kind of truck do you like?" He'll go, "Garbage truck." He's actually named the garbage truck Stinky. I don't know if he got that on his own, but I found that at my age, I am having a little bit of trouble hearing what he's saying. And because he's whispering. So what am I doing? I'm leaning in. The Hebrew word for whisper, it's kind of interesting. It's the same word that's used to describe the way that God delivers us from our distresses in the Old Testament. In Psalm 107, verse 29, we read this, "He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed." The psalm foreshadows the way that Jesus himself would actually stop a storm dead in its tracks with just three words: quiet, be still. Mark says, when Jesus said that, then the wind died down and it was completely calm. Raging storm, sea of glass. It's the power of God. His whisper is gentle, but nothing is more powerful. Whispering is typically employed for secrecy, yet no form of communication is more intimate, is it? When my wife whispers into my ear, "I love you," winner, winner, chicken dinner right here. That means so much to me. But if I'm too far away and I don't hear that, I miss it. When someone speaks in a whisper, you have to get very close to hear them. We lean toward a whisper, and that's what God wants. The goal of hearing the Father's voice isn't just hearing the message that he has for us, as important as that is, but it's also experiencing the intimacy with him. He loves us, and he wants a close relationship with us. The Almighty Father could intimidate us with his outside voice, but instead he draws us in with a whisper. Surprisingly, God often speaks loudest when we are quietest. 17th century philosopher Blaise Pascal once observed, "The sole cause of man's unhappiness is that he does not know how to stay quietly in his room." Shh. You know, I was practicing that, I literally, and I found that to be very calming, actually. You want to do it with me, okay? Just do it. Do a little shush. Ready? One, two, three. Shh. Kind of feel it. It's just, there's a strong statement that Pascal says when he talks about man doesn't know how to be quiet in his room. I don't think he's overstating it there. But when we have problems hearing the Lord, the remedy is as old as the Psalms. Philip shared this last week, Psalm 46:10, where the psalmist says, "Be still and know that I am God." Knowing God starts by being still. And I think part of the reason for that is because we can't hear God unless we quiet ourselves, separate ourselves from all the noise. But our world does not accommodate stillness. It just doesn't. What makes hearing God so difficult in our world today is it's so noisy. Even our minds are often filled with so much noise. You know, I ask our tech guys if they could just give me about 5 seconds or so of white noise, because I want you to hear this for a second. That's white noise. Now, what's interesting, as I was talking during the white noise, and now I'm talking now, it's so much easier to hear me now than it was then. You could hear me, but it's easier this way. Now, here's the deal about white noise. White noise is noise that contains every frequency that the human ear can hear. And because it contains every frequency, it's very difficult to hear any specific frequency, especially if you're trying to hear the still, small voice of God. Have you ever noticed that when there's too much noise, it's difficult to concentrate? For me, if there is a ticking clock, I am almost on the verge of insanity. I am trying to concentrate, and all I hear is tick, 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 tick. And I'm not saying that I've ever taken a hammer or anything like that to a ticking clock, but it has crossed my mind before while I'm meditating on Scripture. Okay. See the conflict here? Let me tell you how concentration works. There was a study done of elementary age students in a school in Manhattan, New York City. They found that the children assigned to the classrooms on the side of the school facing the elevated train tracks were actually 11 months behind the students on the other side, or what was called the quieter side of the school building. After the New York City Transit came in and put noise abatement treatments to those tracks on that side, they did a follow-up study and found that the students were now at the same pace. These kids were suffering from not being able to concentrate. When our lives get so loud with the noise that fills every frequency, we can lose focus, and we can even struggle to find our purpose that God has for us. I doubt I'd be wrong if I said, I bet your life is very noisy at times. Maybe a lot of times. When that happens, that's when we forget that God is God. That's when we start to drift, because our focus isn't on the things of God, because we're not hearing it. And we get frustrated and we just stop trying to hear it. The solution to dealing with all of this noise is stillness. So we can hear the voice of God. Henry Nouwen, one of our modern mystics, a great theologian, believed that silence was actually an act of war against the competing voices within us. That war isn't easily won, he said, because it's a daily battle. You know, one of our prayer team members prayed recently in a prayer time, just, and it stuck with me. She said, God, would you silence the chatter of the voices in our minds? You ever trying to pray and there's just seems like there's so much static in there, so much noise, thoughts that pop in there, and you're like, that's not even of God. Henry Nouwen says this: every time you listen with great attentiveness to the voice that calls you the beloved, you will discover within yourself a desire to hear that voice longer and more deeply. When we hear God, it speaks to us and we want more of it. You know, it's hard at times to tune out all the chatter in our minds, isn't it? The noise often disrupts our thoughts. According to, and I'm not making this up, there is a lane of science called interruption science, where they research interruptions. I found this very remarkable as I read about it. This is what they said. We are interrupted every 3 minutes in our world today. Can I get an amen to that? Yeah. Then that's a lot. I don't know about you, but I think that's probably about right. The noise and the disruptions make it difficult to hear God's voice so much that if we're not intentional about listening carefully, we are going to miss what he says. Here's one other thing I want to tell you about listening to his voice. In Psalm 29, this is a powerful depiction of God's outside voice. It depicts God's voice as claps of thunder and flashes of lightning, kind of big, powerful stuff. And then there is this statement in verse 4 of that psalm, and it simply says, the voice of the Lord is powerful. And that seems, if you read that psalm, that seems to be an understatement. Of course it's powerful. I don't have control. My voice isn't like claps of thunder or flashes of lightning. But there's a translation, one translation, Jewish scholars translate that the voice of the Lord is powerful. They translate it, the voice of the Lord is fitted to the strength. Now, what are they talking about? The voice of God is custom fitted to the unique strength of each and every person. Basically, what they're saying is that God speaks your language. And I want you to think about that for a second. Every time God spoke to an individual in the Bible, that person understood him perfectly. Did you notice that? You ever wondered what language God speaks? All of them. God speaks your language. And the Latin word that is translated obey, hang with me. The Latin word obey is obedire. Obedire. I practice my Latin, I'm terrible. It means to give ear to. The Latin word for obey means to listen. Obedience starts by tuning into God's frequency. It's obeying his whispers. Even if there's 1,000 people shouting something completely different, we're going to listen and obey his whisper. Henry Blackaby, who's one of the guys that I started reading on this topic about 25 years ago, great scholar, great writer, he writes this. He says, the willingness to obey every word from God is critical to hearing God speak. Lectio Divina, remember the aspect, the fifth aspect of that meal was to do what God was telling you to do. Blackaby's saying, we start with that presence that, Lord, whatever you're saying to me, I will do. Now, why is this so important? Because you will eventually be shaped into the image of the voice that you listen to the most. If you want to know what a person is about or what is shaping them, ask them what they listen to the most. What are the voices that are the most important in their life? Because you will eventually be shaped into the image of the voice you listen to the most. Sincere listening is ultimately an act of submission. That's true in our relationships today. The way we submit to one another is by genuinely, thoughtfully, patiently, and carefully listening to what that other person is saying. And our relationship with God is no different than that. If we're sincerely listening to God, that's an act of submission to him. We're saying, Lord, tell me what you want to say to me. It's the same as if I say that to one of my daughters or to my wife. I'm listening to what you have to say. It's important to me. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, the very first verse in the book of Hebrews says this, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors at many times and in various ways. Now, a lot of us probably would just read that and we would blow past that to get to the key point, but there's something really interesting here. God's ability to speak to people in the past in unique and mysterious ways, I find to be very amazing. Think about, what's he talking about? Moses. Moses was in the desert and he saw a bush that was on fire but it wasn't consumed and he approached it and the bush talked to him. And Moses is probably, I've been out in the sun way too long, right? Except it was the voice of God and he knew who it was because when God speaks, you know it's God. He's not the only one. Pharaoh, remember Pharaoh? Pharaoh, God sent him 10 messages, 10 different plagues, and he got his attention, and he did what God wanted him to do. Let my people go. The Babylonian astrologers, you remember those guys? We call them the wise men. We talk about them at Christmas, but they're getting a little shout out here in March. They heard from God through the stars, and it led them to have an audience with the baby Jesus. And then my favorite, probably, when we talk about mysterious ways that God speaks, Balaam. Balaam was riding his donkey, and he was beating the donkey, and the donkey turned around and talked to him. again, probably rubbing his eyes thinking, I got to get more sleep. Does God still speak in various ways? Absolutely. I believe God speaks in the same ways now as he did once then. But now we have a distinct advantage at our disposal in having the scripture as our sounding board. Because that's the full counsel of God. He's not going to say something to me today that's in conflict or at odds with what he said in his word. Which helps me a lot. So God speaks through the Bible. He also speaks through the still small voice. We call it a whisper. But the third way he speaks is with a nudge. Now hang with me, okay? This is a broad topic. We must listen carefully to God through nudges. Now, what am I talking about? You know what a nudge is, right? In fact, it may happen to you in here at some point where you're sitting there next to your spouse or maybe to a friend, and then the person up here speaking says something, and all of a sudden you feel this gentle prompt right into your ribcage. Not violent. I mean, if your spouse or friend are loving, it's not violent. But just a little jab. And what that little nudge says is, did you catch that? Don't miss what they just said. I think that's important. Or for you, that is very important. Did you catch that? It's another way that God communicates to us. A nudge can be subjective. So many people choose to ignore God's nudges because they don't understand them or they think that that's not God. But if we disregard it, we will miss the message that he has for us, and we might even miss the miracle that comes as a result of that, and I'll explain that at the very end of this talk. Or even worse than missing the message or the miracle, we could end up like Pilate. You remember Pilate? He was in authority, and Jesus is standing before him. We read this in Matthew, the 27th chapter, and his wife sends a message to him. Have nothing to do with Jesus. I had this incredible dream. You don't want anything to do with this guy. It was a nudge that his wife got through a dream. And Pilate just powered through that. And the far worse than missing the message of God is actually being part of Satan's evil schemes, which Pilate was. The nudges of God, they can be as obvious as a burning bush, crazy as a donkey that talks, or as subtle as a whisper. But generally, God's nudges happen during divine appointments or during providential timing. Occasionally, I will be having a conversation, or I'll be doing something, and I will sense the Lord saying, don't go there, or in the conversation, or you should look away, because what's over there is not God-honoring. You ever have that happen to you? And and a lot of times I'll do this. If I'm by myself, I'll go, got it. Now, I don't say it out loud, but in my mind's eye, I look up and I go, yes, message received. It's not always easy, though, to differentiate between what is coincidental and what is providential. You don't need to apologize, though, for believing that God is in the business of strategically positioning people in the right place at the right time, with the right people. All right. Let me land this plane. When God speaks through the Bible or with a whisper or even by a nudge, the effect can be incredible if we listen and obey him. And why I want to close with an example of the power of listening and obeying God when he speaks, okay? February 24th, 1958, Life magazine published a feature article that was titled Mass Murder Trial of a Teenage Gang. And it actually had a picture of seven gang members that were accused of murdering a young man by the name of Michael Farmer, a 15-year-old boy who was disabled by polio. The trial captivated our nation, but it totally wrecked a pastor in Pennsylvania named David Wilkerson. Other people read this article, but Wilkerson wept over it without knowing why. He said one of the faces in that picture, the meanest of the seven, was just seared into his memory. Wilkerson would later go on to start a worldwide ministry called Teen Challenge, ministering to hundreds of thousands of teenagers all around the world. He also wrote a New York Times best-selling book called The Cross and the Switchblade, and he started Times Square Church, all of this happening in New York City. But it all began with that magazine article. Wilkerson said he couldn't ignore what he perceived to be a nudge from God. Sitting in his study late on a Saturday night in February 1958, he discerned the voice of God saying, "Go to New York and help those boys." It was those boys in that picture. Moving from rural Pennsylvania to minister to the gangs of New York City was a crazy prompting. But wasn't any crazier than some of the promptings we read in Scripture? Nehemiah leaving the throne room of the king of Babylon, where he was a cupbearer, to go to Jerusalem and rebuild the wall. Or Philip, who didn't know anything about this Ethiopian eunuch, but God said, "Go talk to him, tell him about me." And he goes in the middle of the desert, meets this guy, and the eunuch says, "Here's water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And he's saved right there. And that man would take the gospel to the continent of Africa. Probably the most significant was Ananias, a disciple who the Spirit of God said, "I want you to go and pray with this terrorist known as Saul. He's persecuting the church." And Ananias goes and he prays for him. And Saul would later, after his conversion, be known as Paul. And he changed the structure and the climate of the Middle East, all the Mediterranean, and it still ripples today. The power of that one thing. You may think that was crazy that God would send Ananias to go talk to Saul, but God knew what he was doing. Every one of these promptings produced awesome results. David Wilkerson's was no different. Like David Wilkerson, your obedience might just be someone else's miracle. That was the case for Nicky Cruz, the leader of one of New York City's most violent gangs. Nicky Cruz gave his life to Jesus because David Wilkerson listened to God, moved to New York City, and started sharing the gospel with gang members. And Nicky Cruz's life was never the same after he said yes to Jesus. There are people whose lives will be different, who will be in heaven someday because you listened to the voice of God, but you have to stop. You have to make space for it. You have to slow down. So here's what I want us to do. We got just a few minutes. Actually, I'm a little over. Please forgive me. I want to take 2 minutes, and here's what I want you to do. As we take time for reflection, I want you to pray that prayer Samuel prayed. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And I want you to just take a minute here, or maybe a minute and a half, and we're just going to be silent, close your eyes, and pray that prayer, okay? I think we got it. You got it here? The 1 Samuel 3:10, there you go. Just take a moment, and let's take some time to ask God to speak. I want you to listen. God is speaking, I want to encourage you to write it down. And take some time outside of this time together and just ask him, what do you mean by this? Listen. Listen. It'll be in line with Scripture, or it's not from him. Listen to him. Let's pray together. Lord, we are humbled and we are so grateful that you love us and you desire to have a personal relationship with us. Help us, Lord, to be still, to hear your voice. And when we hear you, give us the courage and strength to obey what you're calling us to, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.